If you went to bed after the Heat win last night, Nikola Jokic getting that big and one layup, you might have missed Detroit, who played like absolute basura most of the game. Jared Goff had 5 interceptions.
And by the way, I did go to bed right after the Heat game because I knew we had to wake up very early this morning. So I thought, hey, Lions are going to lose.
5 interceptions from Jared Goff. At times, literally just throwing it into the ground. I thought there was penalties. No, he was just throwing it into the ground.
Yep.
Yet the Giants found a way to beat the Texans, who are a good team. In Texas, by the way. Good teams find ways to win. With that being said, Alex Dano, do you believe on the road tonight the Dolphins have a chance to defeat the LA Rams?
Really do. The Rams defense is not something that scares me. I believe if the Dolphins actually are responsible with their play calling, Mike McDaniel's game management, I think we can run the ball on them, maybe target Jalen Waddle a couple of more times. I think it is attainable for the Dolphins tonight, right? There's a reason why they're only 2.5-point underdogs on the road. The other side of that is, Dan, over the years, especially in primetime games, when you have these must-win situations, the Dolphins have let us down more often than not.
Terrible.
So you can break that trend tonight against a beatable Rams team on the road. Break that trend tonight. I was reading the text line. It was kind of funny. Earlier, you were, and I thought it was a great rant when you were ranting about the Dolphins receivers and about Mike McDaniel's game management and all that. Somebody said you sounded like Dan Cilio on a roid rage, which you should take that as a compliment, I think.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think for better or for worse, and mostly for worse, I feel as though the Dolphins are finally coming into their own. Unfortunately, it's 9 games into the season. That's what I'm saying. It's worse. The past 2 games, they've looked like the Dolphins we expected them to look like this year, scoring 27 points against what now seems to be good teams. At first, I thought the Cardinals weren't that good, but they actually seem to be pretty decent. And we know the Bills are pretty good. Whether you love them or hate them, whether you like Josh Allen or not, they're a good team. He's an MVP candidate. They seem like they're coming into their own, which gives me hope. Once again, the bad part is, Dono, you're 2-6, and now you're coming into your own.
No more room for error. Like, you can maybe lose one more game the rest. Although, I don't know, because, Dan, coming out of this weekend, there's only going to be 6 teams in the AFC with above 500 records. Right now, for as bad as the Dolphins have been, and they've played 2 less games than a lot of teams have had so far, but that's just more opportunities to win. The Dolphins are only 1 game out of the loss column of the 7th and final playoff spot in the AFC.
A lot of tiebreakers that you've already lost to, like Tennessee.
Ugh. Yeah, it's fair.
It's good.
Fair.
But my thing is this, and I've thought about it, and like the Dolphins just looked, even with 2 of those first 2 games, absolutely terrible. And a lot of people are blaming lack of preseason. I mean, is the answer, you got to play more starters during the preseason? Maybe you have to practice a little harder, because I'll say this, behind the scenes, and you go to a lot of Canes practices, I know people that went to Dolphins and Canes practices this year, and they were like, wow, it's night and day between the pro game and the college game. These college guys get after it in practice. The pro game, it's a whole lot of stretching and drills. Maybe is the answer, you make millions and millions and millions of dollars, you need to get after it a little more in the preseason or even in practice.
I mean, the only thing I'll say is everyone's pretty much on a level playing field. I mean, I feel like Dan Campbell probably practices his players harder than he's supposed to, because he's done that before.
Yeah,
I remember when he took over here as the interim coach, he had him running Oklahoma drills like his first day. At least the playing field is like, you can't use that as an excuse for the Dolphins, because the same excuse goes for everybody. I mean, nobody's hitting. Everyone's taking veteran days off, older players, during training camp and during practices. So it's not a unique problem to the Dolphins. I do think in general, though, and it's easy for me to say this essentially from my couch, but a lot of former players will tell me that when you don't practice hard, it makes you more susceptible to injuries in games.
It brings up a good point. I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
And somebody brought this up this week, and I was like, why is it such a almost pandemic that we have injuries all the time? Like, it's weird, because you think about the top players in the NFL, you're always worried about them getting hurt. I know Tua has his injuries issues, but he's like, do you ever worry about Cam Ward or Dylan Gabriel or any of these college players getting hurt? He's like, Anybody that's in the Heisman race, you never hear of them bowing out because of injury. And yeah. I think there's something to be said about that.
I think there is as well. And part of it is tackling technique, because like you're barely allowed to practice tackling anymore. And so that creates not only a shock in games when you're going full speed, 110 miles per hour the entire time, but then if your tackling technique is off, that puts you at more risk of injury, and it puts the player you're tackling at more risk of injury. So I think it all goes into that.
I just think that's interesting. I can't even think of a time where we're like, oh, you know, late in the season, this Heisman hopeful, they've derailed their chances by getting hurt. But we hear of pro players all the time getting hurt late in the season, yeah. early in the season, yeah. middle of the season. Oh, I don't know what the answer is. And I just try to figure it all out and try to think of it all. And I obviously... nobody has the answer, or else they would, you know, they would definitely do that. But it seems like Patrick Mahomes is always healthy, and that seems to be working out, and it's because he's double.
Well, the other thing with less of a focus on defense and practices, and obviously rule changes over the years that favor the offense, the NFL kind of gets what they want. Like, they want higher scoring games, right, than they used to have, right? Because it was different. I remember, you know, some of you listening to this probably, you know, go back to the 70s watching games. I was born in the 80s, so really like early 90s is when, late 80s, early 90s is when I really remember starting to watch football. And you know, sometimes you would get pretty routinely 17-16 games, or we had a low scoring game with Kansas City the other day, so sometimes it still does happen in today's NFL, but that was like the norm, right? Mm-hmm. A big tackle. Now it's, hey, who scored a 60-yard touchdown this week? Like the game has evolved, and I think that's what the NFL really wanted.
Yeah, and that's what they're getting right now. So we'll have to wait and see tonight, though, a chance to save our season. This is a save our season type of game, kind of for both teams. You figure the Rams, they're trying to keep pace to win their division. We're just trying to keep pace to make the playoffs, but could be the beginning. I do feel the Dolphins are kind of coming into their own, for better or for worse. Tonight could be the night we really come into our own, beat the Rams, get rid of that quote-unquote jinx or curse we have in the public's eye when Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night football, although we did win last year against the New England Patriots on Sunday night football, but, you know, that was Bill Belichick.
I mean, it's Patriots.
You know, yeah. Bill Belichick, everybody beats him, right?
Lately, yeah. I mean...
oh, man, he's got that. Never mind.
We've made it easy to listen to WQAM. Just download the free Odyssey app to listen to all of our shows live or on demand. Plus, there's the cool rewind feature where you can listen to any part of any show you might have missed anytime. Get it now and make WQAM your favorite station.
Alex Dono and Dan Day with you on this Veterans Day, or as my Cajun grandmother and mom say, Veterans, not veterans, Veterans Day.
Veterans, just like one less syllable, right?
Veterans Day. It's a Veterans Day. Go say hi to the veterans. No, but to all the veterans, seriously, we do appreciate and love you so, so much. Hopefully Absolutely. You're having a good day, whether you're on vacation, whether you're on a day off, whether you're on, like me, a vacation of the mind. I say this, Donna. I think around 2012, I took a vacation of the mind and never came back. I'm going to be focused in tonight on this Dolphins game, man. God, it feels like I've been on edge for the past couple of weeks. And everybody, of course, we talked about this with the Hurricanes. Oh, they're playing with fire. It came and burnt them. Well, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. But I feel as though every game at this point of the season for both teams, the Hurricanes and the Dolphins, is just like razor thin. Like, it could go either way, yeah, and I'm worried.
Sure.
I don't care how much better the Hurricanes are than Georgia Tech, but than they are than Wake Forest and Syracuse. I don't care that the Dolphins are favored or not favored. I just feel as though every game is going to be one of those ones where you just got to buckle up and hold tight.
Yeah, and the margin for error for both teams, I mean, for the Hurricanes, it's basically absolute zero, because if you lose another game, even if it is in the ACC championship game, if you get there, if you lose one more game, you're not going to make the college football playoff. Exactly. Like, you were allowed one mulligan. You took your mulligan against Georgia Tech. You've got to win out if you want to be in the CFP. Now, big picture, you know, you can certainly say, hey, year one under Cristobal, really disappointing, 5-7. Year two, disappointing, 7-5. They've already got 9 wins this year, so at least the upward trajectory is there. That's not really been the case for the Dolphins, but now the Dolphins are, I don't know, Dan, like, what do you think? Despite the fact that the AFC is drunk, do you think the Dolphins could afford to lose more than one game out of their next, what are we at, 9 games left? Can they afford to lose more than one game and make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anything less than 10-7 is going to be enough.
I think 2 games is your max right there. And I hate to say this, I'm being positive. Best case scenario, and I think if you ask a Dolphins fan to their true heart, what's the best case scenario? And I do mean this not to be mean. I mean this as a Dolphins fan, and I'll be on the post game tonight until 1 o'clock in the morning, basically 10-1. Please tune in. It's always interesting. We have phone callers and it just gets wild. You know, it's like therapy almost. Hopefully it's a good therapy session tonight. But as a Dolphins fan, and most Dolphins fans, I think I'll admit, if you find a way to put together some wins and get into the playoffs, now to ask that you could beat Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City on the road all together, no. But to get into the playoffs and win one game, this would be a hugely happy, successful season. I'd say McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Tua, you've all earned your money. You're good. Am I wrong in feeling that way? Or do you need to have the Patriots or the Kansas City mentality of championship or bust?
I'm going to say you're wrong because this team was not like that. They didn't go out and trade for Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb and draft Tua and draft Jalen Waddle to win a playoff game. That's not why they did. Like, the Dolphins put themselves in a window. Now,
where
you know,
at now though, where you're at now.
Yeah, but I think that window is closing. Like, this team was built to win Super Bowls. So far, we have zero playoff wins to show for it. I'm not going to settle for one playoff win. This nucleus has got to win a Super Bowl.
So, Dono, you're saying that this team is built to go on the road in the playoffs in inclement weather and beat a string of Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, and then maybe Detroit?
They were built poorly, obviously, but the intention was to build it to win those games. I think the intention was, hey, it doesn't matter if we may not be the best team in the trenches. We're going to be so fast that we're just going to have that great advantage. Now, it goes against my philosophy. My philosophy, being a football fan of 4 decades, my philosophy is you build it from the inside out, like the way that they're trying to build it in Coral Gables. Oh. I believe you build it from the inside out. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer's joint philosophy, because I think Greer took a lot of input from McDaniel on this, was, well, let's just do it differently. Other teams are trying to build it from the inside out. We're going to get every track star.
Yeah.
If you run a four two or less, we're going to draft you. You know, we're going to try to put the ball in your hands. But the problem is, like you said, Dan, you get to Buffalo in January. You get to Kansas City in January. It falls apart pretty quick.
And I get this a lot. And once again, maybe I'm jaded because I do the post game, and you do post game for the Hurricanes. So maybe you're not as jaded.
Yeah.
Are you more confident long term in a team like the Miami Hurricanes with Mario Cristobal, who's building from the inside out and getting guys to try to buy in from the beginning? Are you more confident in a Dolphins team that's building from the quote-unquote outside in and taking in a bunch of mercenaries who are free agents and not so much building through the draft? You kept Waddle. I do understand that, and Tua, but
yeah.
Christian Wilkins. Who are you more confident in long-term?
I'm more confident in the Hurricanes long-term.
Thank you for being honest.
And, you know, and obviously, like, I know, the recency bias will be, hey, look at what just happened to them. People are going to say that, but you know, still, it's pretty obvious what the trajectory is in Coral Gables. At least it's ticking upwards, right? Kind of like the stock market and the crypto market for the past several days. It's moving upwards, right? Where for the Dolphins, that ticker has been moving downwards. I'm more confident in the Hurricanes. I mean, obviously there are flaws in both directions, but when it comes to building teams, that's what Mario Cristobal does best. Recruit. You know, he's done a very good job. Doesn't have a perfect hit rate in the transfer portal, but
does.
You know, Cam Ward was a transfer, Damian Martinez was a transfer, Simeon Barrow, who's having a really good year on the defensive line, that was a transfer. I feel more confident. Unfortunately, Kiko's not having a great year this year, but you know, still he still is the leading tackler on the team. But yeah, I feel more confident in Miami Hurricanes coaching staff as team builders rather than the Dolphins front
and
office.
And I do understand the NFL stands for not for long. No one's great for a long period of time. Yeah. But man, it's just so crazy. You know, we always try to get into these, you know, sabermetrics and Moneyball and this and this and this. And there's just some things that just always ring true. Football, since the dawn of football until now, look at what the best teams do. They're big, physical, strong in the trenches, with a good defense, and they can run the ball. Call me old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Don't let Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes fool you. What are they really good at? Defense. Strong in the trenches, and they can run the ball, whether it's their quarterback or not. And what is the Miami Hurricanes trying to do? What's Mario Cristobal's number one thing? What's his baby? What's his jam?
I mean, he's gone away from it a little bit this year because, you know, you've got, you know, because Cam Ward is kind of like he's like the Patrick Mahomes of college. So you've gone away a little bit from running the ball this year, but Dan, went that running game for Miami for the Hurricanes had been trending up in recent weeks, and you could see the difference. Like, it's such a luxury when you've got a couple of bulldozers in your backfield like Damian Martinez and Mark Fletcher. You've got a physical offensive line. Mario Cristobal loves to work that and use that when he
can. That's the other thing, too. At the beginning of the season, the glam and flam and bam and everything like that is okay. But we've noticed with the Dolphins at the end of the season, when you don't have that truck, when you don't have that offensive line, when you don't have that defense, things start kind of...
I mean, imagine if you had a prime Ricky Williams right now. I love Devon Achane. I would love to have them both in the backfield, but can you imagine? You remember what Ricky Williams was in his prime. I mean, you're a Saints fan, so you remember him there. You remember him as a Dolphin. I mean,
we gave him
they don't make a whole lot of Ricky Williams.
No, they don't. And that's the reason why I give Baltimore and first of all, I love Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson.
Oh,
I don't want to hear any of the hate from him. The difference on the team this year is Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah. King
their
Henry.
Their defense isn't very good either, by the way, if you haven't noticed.
No.
But no, Derrick Henry, that could be the difference. And that's why I give them a chance more than they did in the last year, even though they were great last year. But it just seems, and once again, when do you want to win your games? Do you want to win them early in the season, or do you want to win them late in the season? Maybe this Dolphins team is built to win late in the season, huh? Dono? Tell me yes. Just say yes.
I mean, if that's what you want to hear, yes.
We'll be back after this.
Well, and I really hope they win it for Dan Day, because if the time comes, when they get mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, doesn't mean you've got to stop doing postgame. You got to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So I want them to win it for you.
That is one thing. You can always kind of look at the future and work, but once you're a mathematically eliminated, especially early, what are you doing? And then, like, wins are, I'm not saying wins or losses, but wins kind of don't really help you any, because your draft gets worse and everything else like that.
Yeah, at that point, the fans are going to be wanting to lose games, and then you're, and I'll say this, that you know, I get it that, you know, mathematically it's better to lose more games if you're not in the playoffs anyway. At the same time, though, winning as many as you possibly can, I think it's important for the culture of an organization.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's easy for people to underestimate that. But every time I hear fans like, oh, you should lose on purpose.
Nope.
You should just tank.
Terrible.
If you're a professional football player or coach, that should not even be an option for you, right? And I understand, you know, I wish he hadn't come out and sued our team, but I can understand why Brian Flores, you know, refused to tank, you know, when he was allegedly asked to do, like, I can understand it. And so, you know,
no one's ever going to tank. First of all, these are professionals and they're competitive. If someone came to you, Dono, and said, Dono, look, on your Locked On Canes podcast, do an absolute terrible job and have no one listen because, you know, in the long run, it's going to be good. First of all, it's not in your DNA to be bad.
Right.
But second of all, that's just not you think, first of all, what's the first thing they do if they tell a coach, tank, everything will be fine? What's the first thing they do when they blow things up and they They reorganize. They fire everybody. Coaches, exactly. Players, yeah. Everything. Right. So, I mean, you putting out bad resume tape, if you're a coach, yeah. Mike McDaniel, go ahead and tank the rest of the season. Who's to say they won't fire him at the end of the season? And then when he goes for another job,
and also, like, and that stays on your record forever, because yeah. Whenever we're talking about, like, oh, like if you're looking to hire a certain head coach, you're like, okay, well, what's his record?
Yeah.
Right? So that stays with you forever.
And how do you go to your next boss and they're interviewing you? So, like, what happened last year? Oh, they told me to tank and lose on purpose. That doesn't stand to who you yeah. are as a
and
person.
You did it?
So you're the type of guy that'll lose on purpose, or girl that'll lose on purpose? Well, they told me to. Okay. Like, I wouldn't want to hire somebody that's purposefully done something. No, they're always, number one, trying to be the best they can be. But also, if they see the writing on the wall, the next job, you know, so like you can't do that. But with that being said, I do want to bring this up, Dono. If you owned a restaurant and you're Italian, so let's say an Italian restaurant. I mean, I can't. Sure. They got this place called Mother Wolf in the Design District. Go look
Mother
it up
Wolf.
When
wow.
you get a chance, man. Like the wolf, the Mother Wolf with Romulus and Remus.
With Rome, yeah. And
suckling from the wolf mother's teat.
Right, yeah, from the legend of how Rome was founded. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm fully willing to go spend a large amount of money there as soon as I get a day off, which may happen in April. But you know, if the owner's listening or the chef's listening right now, you know, I'd love to give you a great review. But I want to go to Mother Wolf really bad. But let's say you owned a restaurant and you owned it for 24 years. I don't know where I get that number from, but I'm just saying, you owned an Italian restaurant, Dono, for 24 years, and for 24 years, you do not turn a profit. Maybe some years you break even, most of the years you don't. What's wrong with that restaurant? Is it the employees? Because I'm sure not all the same employees have been there for 24 years. What's wrong with the restaurant?
It's ownership. I'm doing something wrong.
And you say, well, the recipes aren't good. Well, yeah.
Right. Either the food's not good enough. Maybe I'm not charging enough, or I'm charging too much for the food. Maybe it's turning away. Like, I'm doing something wrong. Like,
you're just not running the restaurant correctly.
Without turning a profit? Yeah, I'm doing something wrong. Got the wrong managers. I've hired the wrong people, maybe.
Maybe you have the wrong recipes. Maybe you're getting the wrong people in. You're doing less. So why do we say, oh, that's obvious in a restaurant that if it hadn't turned a profit for 24 years? And when I'm saying profit, you know what I mean. I understand profits, football, that's a different thing. But why is it so easy to say, oh, and I think a lot of Dolphins fans do agree with what we're saying right here, but why is it so easy to say, well, if a restaurant doesn't turn a profit in 24 years, they're lucky to be still around. It's definitely management. It's definitely the organization or the ownership. And no. But with football, we're like, well, you know, the injuries and, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, why do we do that? Because we want to believe that it's still, you know, yeah, that's something else, that it's not our fault. I don't know. Well, if we lose tonight, I'm ready.
I think Dolphins ownership, Stephen Ross, needs to look in the mirror. I know he's not going to fire himself, but maybe he may be looking. Some people right under him maybe need a change of scenery in the workplace.
With that being said, they win tonight. All right, we're good. We're back where we need to be. You win some more games, you go ahead, get that playoff.
I don't know. I feel like if they win tonight, it just prolongs our agony for another week.
All we have to do, okay, now, first of all, when we say with the Hurricanes, all they have to do is win out. That's realistic enough. And I know
they got three games left, including the ACC championship. If they get there,
some people are saying pie in the sky. You can beat Wake Forest, you can beat Syracuse, and you can beat whoever you meet in the ACC championship. And then when the playoffs come, it's going to be a free for all. Good luck against teams like Georgia. Oh well, although Georgia's not as great as they used to be, but Oregon, all that stuff. But so college football, whatever. If the Dolphins win out and get hot and go into the playoffs, that's great. That's awesome. But if you have to face Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, just to get to the Super Bowl on the road in the weather, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I say this. Mario Cristobal, I've adopted your mentality. Every week, it's about 1-0.
That's right. 1-0.
That's how
you have to look at it.
I don't care about the Raiders. I don't care about two games against the Jets. I don't care about whatever might be in the future. I'm worried about tonight. Make me feel good tonight when I don't go to bed, because I'm going to get off of the post-game show and then come to the Joe Rose show. But as I'm taking my breather between the shows, I want to just feel good for a little bit. I want to take calls where people are like, you know, we still have problems, but this team's coming around. Now, the Hurricanes, hopefully we say, you know what, Georgia Tech, they had our number, and we won some games. You still have Cam Ward. You got a quarterback and a leader, and you've got a coach that, you know, is born and bred Miami. He wants to be here, and that makes a big difference. I don't care what anybody says.
And I don't want to wait. When it comes to the Hurricanes, you know, I don't. The number one offense in America doesn't grow on trees. Like, you're not going to be able to have that every year. Like, I don't want to waste that. Right. Obviously, the defense has their issues. The offense has bailed them out of a number of games this year. You know, if Miami doesn't win something this year, whether it's the ACC or doesn't get to the college football playoff, you know, I'm not saying they have to win a championship this year, but if they don't win something of significance, I'm really going to feel like the Hurricanes wasted the number one offense in America, because you're probably not going to have that again anytime soon, just because there's 133 teams. It's really hard to have the number one offense in college football. So please win something. And I feel the same way about the Dolphins. Obviously, this season at 2-7, it almost feels like it's completely gotten away from you. Thankfully, with the AFC being so mid, you still have a chance to get into the playoffs this year. But if the Dolphins don't do something in this window where you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Tua in his prime. You know, Tyreek Hill's one of the most exciting football players I've ever watched in my entire life. If you don't win something in this window when you have this team together, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed. And honestly, I feel like that something is you have to win a Super Bowl. This was built to win a Super Bowl. Seems impossible to do that now, but that's what this team was built to do.
1-0. That's all we're worried about. And for the people that say
right.
Hurricanes have been playing with fire, every team plays with fire. We've seen Alabama lose to Vanderbilt. We've seen Georgia get skull-drugged by Ole Miss. Oregon, who is the best team in the country, I want to remind you, week two against Boise State, who's also pretty good, Ashton Jeanty, they won 37-34.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And now, of course, they beat Ohio State 32-31 once again.
And by the way, I feel really bad for Cam Ward, because this is the Miami effect where, like, everything has to be perfect. Yep. So Cam Ward, you know, his team lost this past weekend. He still threw for 348 yards and three touchdowns. He came into last week top odds, best odds to win the Heisman
now
Trophy. He comes out of the week, he's now fourth.
Yeah, he's out.
And like,
yeah,
the Heisman Trophy winner last year lost four games. But if you're Cam Ward, you cannot afford. And it wasn't, I mean, he was not perfect on Saturday. Held on to the football too long. I believe
huge.
That. However, he still played really well. He didn't deserve to drop from first to fourth in the Heisman odds, essentially because his teammates let him down.
And we've done this before, Dono. And, you know, I'm not playing to the crowd. I'm being 100% honest. And I don't know why this still exists, but there is a Miami bias in this country.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm not saying this to be like, yeah, as a Miami fan, you should feel that. It is. Wherever I've ever lived.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, like I even have friends now. Yeah, but like, remember those teams in the 80s? No! It was the 80s. You're holding on to that? But I've lived in, you know, and I still have friends all over this country, because I've lived in a multitude of places where they're like, oh, you're living in Miami now? Send me some gear. I was like, cool. I'll send you some Canes gear and some Dolphins. Oh, I don't need Canes gear. Why? Man, you know how they are. I'm like, what are you holding on to? Like,
how dare they?
I mean, yeah, I don't understand. It's just, I'll take Dolphins gear. I'm cool with the Heat, Panthers, Marlins, kind of.
You know what? One of the reasons why. One of the reasons why I love wearing Canes gear. I mean, like 80% of the clothes that I own.
Where do you get it from? Canes wear. You get it from Canes wear.
Yeah, I love Canes.
Well,
wear.
Anyways,
Brett, the guys do a great job. So, but like one of the reasons why I love wearing Canes gear everywhere is, I'm always going to get a reaction out of somebody. And it's no matter where I am in the country. Like, sometimes I'll see somebody, they throw the U up. They're like, yeah, it's all about the U. Other times, like I was at Winn-Dixie recently. The store clerk was this old lady was an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. She's like, y'all don't play anybody. You're sure repping that U gear. And it is, I'm always, good or bad, I always get a reaction.
You will.
Because the brand is powerful.
Yeah,
whether you love it or you hate it, the U brand is a powerful thing.
But it is a bias. I will say that. And I'm being unbiased when I say there is a bias, because you can even feel it. You see it online. Everything may be undefeated, but haven't played anybody, or, you know.
Oh, Dan, you should see like some of the media reactions coming out of Saturday.
Happy.
I mean, Miami finally lost a game. But the national media had been sitting on their hot takes for the last 10 weeks. and they find it was like an explosion. Like that bum Booger McFarland, he's talking about how like terrible Miami is. Sorry, Booger. Sorry, Dan. But he's a bum to me because he's talking bad about my U. He's talking about what frauds Miami are. It's like they were waiting for this.
They were sitting by the fact in that Miami lost. That Miami would go undefeated and make a run in the playoffs, and they were in fear that Cam Ward would win a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Well, they could stay scared because I don't see the U going anywhere, especially with Mario Cristobal. And guess what? Like I said, this is Mario Cristobal in his hopes, final stop. He don't want to go anywhere else. There ain't no NFL. There ain't no, I'm trying to think, Alabama, although he did coach at Alabama before. This is where he wants to be. And if he gets this thing going in the direction that he thinks he's got it going in now, watch out, because as an 18-year-old kid, and you're from wherever, and you bring me on that Coral Gables campus with that history and this city, and you take me to South Beach, and you take me to Los Olas, and you introduce me to some of the fine co-eds or whatever else talent might be around, and then the next week you take me to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I've been to both, and then you say the NIL is equal. Come on. There's a reason why one coach retired and is on TV all the time, and another one is still coaching Coral Gables. It's all about the U, baby. And tonight, it's
all about the U, Dan.
What about the W tonight?
Let's get the W tonight.
Let's get it. I think we're coming into our own, for better or for worse. Like I said, 9 games into the season. Tonight's the night. We end that narrative. We get that win on a Monday Night Football against the Rams. Dono, real quick, before we go, people want to follow you, want to find out more, where do they go?
Thanks so much. Yeah, you can follow. I'd use two different X accounts, at Alex Dono and at Locked On Canes. And for those looking for Miami Hurricanes talk, I do it every single day. I'm having Larry Bluestein on Locked On Canes later today. And Dan, how about this one? Clinton Portis is scheduled to join tomorrow. Great Miami running backs of all time. So it's going to be a good week of shows. Despite the loss, we always take W's on Locked On Canes. So we'll have that for you guys later this week.
And, of course, they can always find you on the Canes postgame show right here on 560 WQAM. Sir. Tonight, I'll be on the Canes. I'll be on the Dolphins postgame show starting at 10 o'clock, for better or for worse. It's going to be better. Don't worry about that. And then I'll be back tomorrow for the Joe Rose Show. Dono, we'll see you soon, man. Appreciate everything that you do.
See you, pal.
See you tomorrow. See you tonight. Dan Day, Alex Dono. This is the Joe Rose Show, 560 WQAM.